of revolution.
Hi, this is Barbara Glickstein. Diana Mason and I co-host Health Styles. Here's my ask. Please become a BAI buddy. It's only 33 cents a day, and that math equals $10 a month, and you're going to be supporting your station. Why don't you become one of us? Become that activist global citizen making a difference in the world every day, and just for 33 cents. We've been around for quite a while here at WBAI, and we think this is an awesome new idea. So please join us and become a BAI buddy. Go to WBAI.org and sign up. And thank you.
Ave Maria, qué rico!
Hi, friends. WBAI Latin Music Benefit Fundraiser will be held on April 1st at SOB's. 204 Varick Street in downtown Manhattan, and will be featuring the music of the Mambo Legends, formerly the Tito Puente Orchestra, with vocalist Cita Rodriguez. Also myself, Chico Alvarez. I'll be performing with Conjunto Sabor, Los Hermanos de León, featuring Pete Pagan on vocals, and the SOB debut of Nahibe La Gitana and Orquesta Tribu. And check this out. Added to the lineup will be Fania All-Star Roberto Roena. He'll be coming direct from Puerto Rico as a special guest with the Mambo Legends. Also special guest on vocals direct from Puerto Rico, Hector Tempo Alomar. Hector will also be appearing with the Mambo Legends. Doors open at 6 p.m. until 11. A $25 donation will go straight to WBAI. Tickets available online at WBAI.org or SOB's upcoming events website. Support Latin music shows New World Gallery and Con Sabor Latino every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. on Free Speech Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM or WBAI.org.
Ay, mi chichi, que acaba de...
Sweet.
listen to my heart speak.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.
I'll wait for you.
I'll wait for you.
Positive, charging the negative,
causing the most unusual circumstances. Every day we rise again, battle up and fight again, hoping that our hearts will receive our love too. Blessed words we speak again, of the works to do, my friend, for us to live in this garden of Eden.
So tell me, is your love enough?
Yeah.
Your love enough?
Yeah.
Is your love enough? Or can you love some more? Is your love enough?
Yeah.
Your love enough?
Yeah.
Is your love enough? Or tell me, tell me, tell me.
I said, what language do you laugh in? What language do you cry in? What language do you dance in? Make romance in? Language do you make love in, or pray to the above in? What language are your fears? What language are your tears?
Believe in coexistence.
Yes, and that was Michael Franti and Spearhead. Is Love Enough from his Yell Fire CD. And before that, we heard Earth by Michele Indiacello. And that is the opening theme to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And I'm Catherine in studio with
Paulette Spencer.
So here we are again with you on this Wednesday, and happy to be with you. And we had an interesting program last week, and I just wanted to thank you. We had some wonderful feedback, and very much appreciated. Because I think that tune by Michael Franti is kind of a background theme for me, is Love Enough. But really what it talks about is the unifying principles of our existence. You know, what language do you love in? What language do you cry in? What language are your tears? And if we can relate to each other in that way, that we are fundamentally all human beings with the same basic stuff in terms of having feelings, having thoughts, having families, having troubles, having joys. You know, we all have this experience of life. And when you look at the media, one would believe that somehow not everybody has this experience. And the media will encourage us, if it will, if it can, to demonize each other, because it's useful for the ruling, I won't even call it a class, because I don't even think there are that many people who are behind the scenes orchestrating the strings. But it's all a game to manipulate how we think and how we feel, and to pit human being against human being in some fashion.
And I think it also tends to trivialize human life.
That is so true. That's so true. It's very poignant what you're saying, because that's exactly what the media does on so many different levels. On the level of, you know, conflict, but also on the level of sort of programming and advertising, so that we feel reduced to whether or not we have good breath, or, you know, whether or not we fit in a size zero dress or something like that, which is utterly, utterly ridiculous for a real human being. But what happens is we don't, because we sometimes resort to the media for relaxation and entertainment, and there's some really creative, enjoyable stuff. You know, it's nice, good stuff. a lot of it is, but it's what comes in between with the commercials and what comes with the news and with the politics, you know, like the election madness. It really does play into the manipulation of all of our mindsets and the manipulation of our emotions, and we begin to identify with teams and such. Like, people will talk about a sports game. Oh, we won. I'm like, really? I don't remember seeing your name on the roster. So we tend to identify with sides, and, you know, the elections are like that. You know, oh, you know, we stand for this or we stand for that. And people play these silly games, but at the expense of human life and to the point of causing great suffering.
And I think that as well, what we end up seeing is, when you speak about television, for instance, is that it will play a lot of games with the way you perceive time. I think for some period of my existence, I intentionally stayed away from the tube, as it were. And then I noticed that my sense of time changed completely. And what would normally sort of suck you or seduce you into thinking that you're watching a half-hour program, and you go through this whole adventure with the actual, let's say, comedy program interspersed with commercials, somehow you, this level that becomes almost hypnotized in terms of your ability to concentrate. So for perhaps 12 minutes of or 15 minutes of programming, you'll get another 15 minutes of commercials, for instance, but somehow your body will register it as something else completely. It's amazing how commercial television does very strange things to your sense of time and your sense of concentration.
It really does. And there's so much psychology that goes into advertising that it slips a lot of information in subliminally that has an impact on your subconscious. So one of the reasons I stopped watching TV is because I found that it caused me to be depressed. And it, and I was, for no reason, I was just always feeling blue. And when I stopped watching TV is when I realized that it was actually coming from television. And it wasn't so much the programs themselves, though the programming has an addictive quality. The messages are so anti-life that I just really began to recognize the great danger in watching. And then, because I used to surf and change channels, and then I recognized that they synchronize their advertising. So you could change channels, but you're just still going to have a lot more advertising to see. So, I mean, it may have changed at this point because I haven't watched TV. How long ago was it when they went digital? How many years has that been?
I have no idea.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
But that's when I stopped watching TV, when they said, no more regular TV. You now have to have a digital TV. So everything you had was like defunct. I never upgraded to TV after that.
Okay.
So it was interesting. But you're right. It messes with your time because before you know it, the evening is gone. Well, actually, the computer does that too. Yeah. I could be on the computer and think I'm going to be there for 10 minutes, and 3 hours later, I'm still surfing.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a guest with joining us this evening, I'm very happy to say. And we are going to be speaking about another event in the Bronx.
Wonderful.
And so we love the Bronx, we do. And so we're going to be joined by and are being joined by Austin Tuitt. Now, Austin Tuitt is an incredible, he's an author as well as a community advisor, and he really works towards making the world a better place and a place of more understanding and growth. And so he is part of, and may in fact be the founder of, United Peoples Inclusive. We come together, just a few, to give ourselves wisely that all may receive sufficiently. And they are creating and have created an event coming up this weekend. And it is about Communal Doctor Patient Healing Alliance, grassroots up mobilizing for communal health, safety, and productivity. And I want to say hello and welcome Austin Tuitt, Elder T, founder and director of Mutual Trust Continuum. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm so glad that you're having me on this morning. I'm not generally up at this time, but it's exciting to, it's always exciting to hear your voice and the programs that you are involved with. I didn't hear all of your the other guests that's on, but I know that your excitement is for the Bronx. This particular program that we are launching in the Bronx has to do with healing as a whole, natural healing, recognizing the healing as a virtue. None of us can really heal, doctor or patient, but what we can do, we can facilitate the healing virtue, and that is what we want to promote. This is a unique type of a tongue hall type. It's a tongue hall type. What you would call, a health fear in general. But the difference is that the primary focus is on the patient, getting the patient community to recognize that in the healing process, the role that the patient must play, no one else can play that role. Doctor can't. Or no one else can. And so we call that communal healing practice. There was a time when the community at large were naturally involved in healing each other, recognizing that the greatest gift that we get for a human has is that of taking care of each other. When we get to the point where for health care we must pay a price, that takes health care out of the realm of health care. Illness prevention is the natural gift that we have, and that's what we call the communal healing practice. So what this launch is about is to focus the spotlight on the patient community, so that the patient community can come to realize, to recognize that in that process, it's only you, the patient, can provide the or prepare the healing process. And that's why we call it communal. But this is coming from recognition that we are functioning really on an immoral axis, humanity as a whole. And that immoral axis is created from the point of not recognizing nature as a whole. For instance, this is coming out of the recognition and the creation of the Caribbean Women's Sociocultural Association of America, recognizing woman as the soil of fertility from whence all seeds of humanity come to fruition. And if we look at nature, we would realize that nature does not discriminate, in other words. But we, as human, who supposedly have the superior brain power, we discriminate. And so we are deviating from nature as a whole. And if you are a farmer, and the soil that you're going to sow seeds in is not prepared properly, it's not fertilized properly, obviously your produce will be hindered. So if we want to have a powerful or healthy human seeds, we need to start by recognizing that the woman is the soil to fertilize those seeds and nurture those seeds. And when she is not fertilized, not prepared properly, not respected, not honored properly, then from concept, we are having health problem. And it starts with mental health. It starts with our imbalance of safety. And as a result, we can't produce. So the things that we are seeing happening around the world, from observing nature, we recognize that sexism, whereby women are not being treated the way we should, sexism is the basic problem. And then, of course, we have racism, and they both are sustained by capitalism. So we are actually on an immoral axis that has to change.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very powerful words that you're sharing with us. And one of the theme of your program, Restoring Doctor-Patient Mutual Trust, you also have the topic of how poverty breeds ill health. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Okay. Restoring mutual trust, period. Not just doctor-patient, but in this case, because of the communal alliance that we are seeking to bring about, recognizing interlinking health, safety, and productivity. The communal approach when we ignore the communal approach, we are ignoring the source, the fundamental of alliance, the mutual trust. If we don't know each other, it's almost impossible for us to trust each other. And we are functioning in a world right now that we are not even aware that we don't know each other, and we have a need to know each other. And that's why, again, the operative word is communal. There was a time when the community just naturally healed each other. You share whatever you have with the rest of the community. Community means the dwellers in that space recognize the space as common space. Nature's wealth is a common wealth. The denial of anyone their full measure of the commonwealth of nature in itself is immoral. And so we need to build mutual trust, without which we can't really heal. I don't trust my doctor, and the doctor has not been, because the doctor has not been exercising empathy toward me, but I depend on the doctor. This is how our social structure is flawed. I really don't trust you, but I have to depend on you for my sustenance. That is an unhealthy position. And again, this ill health that we're talking about, the fundamental is mental health. We all are mentally diseased. So that restoration, it was there at one point. We call each other, we play the different role with each other. I am a doctor, you are a patient, vice versa, because we're sharing the community that way. And trust needs to be built. But we are at a point now where when you look at it, you would see that we are functioning on the problem is my personal ownership of nature's commonwealth, or private ownership of nature's commonwealth. Until we change from that immoral axis, the condition that we are in, with all the turmoil that we are, that humanity is facing, it just cannot be healed. Because we are not doing cause and effect analysis to see what is causing this and why this is happening. We're not doing that. We're reacting to the condition, the state that we're in. And as we notice throughout the world, as long as we are in that contestant state, there's no way we could heal the world. Humanity could be living in a state of healing. So what we seek to do is to focus the attention, focus the spotlight on the patient, because it is the patient that can explain the authentic experience. Experience is the ultimate teacher. The patient can focus, can tell of his or her history, recognizing that experience is really the ultimate teacher. So we need to be listening to each other. As a patient community, we need to be mobilizing and depending on each other so that we can build trust. In this case, where we're looking at science, we are trying to interlink science, technology, and art, because in essence, we are inseparably, seamlessly connected. But nature shows us that, but we are not heeding, we are not recognizing that. So the condition, we are in lack of trust, the hemorrhaging of trust state that we are in, that cannot be repaired until we recognize that we have to change, move from that immoral axis to the moral axis that's based on sharing.
Mm. Very powerful words. And let's tell people how they can connect with you and where the event will be taking place. So it is in the Bronx. And I have your flyer. It says New Covenant, 1175 Boston Road. The zip is 10456. And it's taking place Saturday, April 2nd, which is this coming Saturday, at 11 a.m.
Well, yes, and this is the first launch of this.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you can get in touch with us through by telephone, 257. Now, telephone is 718-284-4453. Our email is gcr.lglg@yahoo.com. gcr.lglg@yahoo.com.
And what, give out your phone number again for people who might have missed
718-284-4453. There's where you can leave a message. We'll always get back to you. But it's critical to note that this, by its very name, United Peoples Inclusive, every member of the human species is a member of this movement, is a recognized member, in other words. One doesn't really have a choice of membership. You are a member anyway. You are a recognized member. The only way you could change that is if you can dehumanize yourself, change your species. And I don't think we could do that. How you react to this movement is your choice. We find that the way we stay in touch is by having every week, more than once a week, we will have teleconferences, and those teleconferences expand globally. We also have a rallying emblem, which is the United People's flag, and we are cyberspace. We're doing a cyberspace people's flag hoist throughout the month of May, mm-hmm. recognizing nature's Mother Earth's maternal fertility. In the month of May, Mother Earth brings forth her nurturing resources for all forms of life. So this is the first time we are hoisting this rallying emblem. Hopefully we will be using that as another source of building mutual trust. Mm-hmm. Mutual trust is the primary goal.
Wow, that sounds like such a beautiful endeavor and so much needed, because you're right, every human being is just that, has these human qualities, but some people forget, don't they?
Well, of course, this is what we recognize. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, however, as you would know, because this is foreign language to we have lived in a state of capitalism for so long that it is crazy to hear someone talking about communal, using nature's wealth as commonwealth. That's crazy talk. Mm-hmm. But coming into this, we are aware, we've been aware. June 26, 1986, this was launched and entitled the Caribbean Women's Sociocultural Association of America. And that figurative woman was impregnated with giving birth to offspring who will perpetually contribute to global harmony, recognizing that how critical it is for us to rethink gender harmony. Without what we are talking about here, is no way we can really zero in, use empathy as a fundamental of our livelihood. And if when empathy is not there, that word upon which we build just about everything that has to do with the golden rule, with love, what have you, it's a strange word now. It's mm-hmm. a foreign word.
Yeah, for many, this is so true. So I don't want to keep you up too much longer, mm-hmm. but do you have any thoughts that you want to share or pull out?
Actually, yes. I'm hello, and it's nice to speak with you.
Yes, and this is Paulette Spencer, and she's co-hosting Heart of Mine, or is that Midnight that you're listening to now?
And what you're saying has a certain resonance with me in that part of what interests me, at least on a professional level, and as you're saying, on a basic humanistic level, is at least in an acknowledgement on the part, perhaps, of physicians or those in medical professions where such a great deal of trust is placed on their abilities to heal, that indeed that within the profession there is a bias. And what I find is that unless that bias is actually acknowledged in the open, although there's chance of healing without the acknowledgement, that acknowledgement actually opens the door to more frank conversation, so that patients can feel at ease with what they've been perceiving all along and have been told that was just in their imaginations. And that, what do you think of that in terms of the open acknowledgement on the part of both sides that there is indeed a bias that has existed within the profession and has hampered the ability to foster trust?
Well, in response to this, to your question statement, the bias is here. And it transcends all of our professions, all our actual living. But we can see it more so in the healthcare profession right now, because healthcare is really an industry, and anything industrial where people make investments, they're making investment for material profit, not for people. So that bias is really in the structure, the socioeconomic structure that's really bearing out healthcare at this point. There's a difference between healthcare and illness profession, which we're looking at. Hopefully, we could develop into communal healing, where we naturally want to heal each other. We have to remove, and we have a role to play, we the patient. Right now, the patient community, the real ill health community has grown, or population has grown out of, in leaps and bounds, out of control. And that's not going to stop. If we, as patients, don't ask ourselves, how am I doing? What role I supposed to play in this whole thing? I am intimidated by my doctor. I am afraid to speak to my doctor. Well, only when we come to rely on each other from grassroots up, then together we can let the profession know that we are not just going to take it from that perspective anymore. We have to do that, and that's why this health fear is a difference. It's conversational. We are going to be focusing on conversation. That's why we call it town hall style, whereby we would still see the normal town hall where people promote their goods and services and what have you. From, of course, the side of the what we do, for what we call earning a living, the capitalistic side of it. But this is not how we're supposed to live. And so that healing, that role that we, the patient, have to play we are not playing that role. We are intimidated out of that role. We are dependent on, we panic when we feel any form of dis-ease. And we go to the doctor and they do one. You don't even have to, you started off by talking about television. You don't even have to go to the doctor. It's coming to you through your television. And like you said, through your computer. Everywhere, it's coming at us. And we don't know what we're talking about. And they're actually telling us, this will kill you. And we're still taking it. So something has to start happening. And it must happen from grassroots up. Our Unity Forum has four bearer columns. And they are recognition, respect, reconciliation, and rally. Only when you recognize something for what it is, you can respect it. And when we do when we look at those two columns, then we could begin to reconcile. Then and only then we have something to rally. And that's why we have the United People's flag, the hoisting of the United People's flag from grassroots up. The inscription on that flag says, by our people's will, from grassroots up.
Wow, that's very powerful. That's very, very powerful. And I just want to remind people that you have an opportunity to get involved in this work. And you can participate either by going to the event itself on Saturday, April 2nd, or making that connection, because this is an ongoing process. And there's an opportunity for you to make a difference in your own life as well as the life of the community within which we lived, the human community. And we've been speaking with Austin Tuitt, or Elder T, founder and director of Mutual Trust Continuum, as well as all of this great work, very, very much dedicated to the process of healing and unifying and transforming. So I really do honor and respect you, Elder T, and I thank you for being with us. I want to remind everyone again, it's Saturday, April 2nd, 2016 at 11 a.m. New Covenant, it's in the Bronx, 1175 Boston Road, Bronx, New York, and the zip code is 10456. You can contact by phone, 718-284-4453. That's 718-284-4453. And the email is gcr.lglg@yahoo.com. And the event is actually free admission. However, donations are welcome, and I certainly encourage those of you who are listening to support. And if you're not going to attend the event, then you should still support this work. I think it's very important. So thank you very, very much for joining us today, Austin.
Can I ask one question before I
yes,
leave?
Yes, absolutely. Don't have to leave. I just didn't want to keep you up too late. But
yeah, when I say leave, I mean before my guest position.
Yeah.
I'm generally intrigued by people who would take up this, what I know is strange stuff, foreign language to most people. So my question is, what caused you to respond to this in particular?
To your event or to your work in general?
Yeah. The event the event is a continuum of the work.
Okay. I have been familiar with your work over the years, I believe, and I receive your emails from time to time, and I have been wanting to connect and be able to bring this to a wider audience, because one of the things that's missing from our world is the wisdom of elders and the guidance of true leadership. And that's what I recognize in what you're doing, where you have a dedication to this work of unifying people, of educating and transforming. And I just love the idea of what you're talking about, the communal doctor-patient healing alliance, because to me this is the only thing that's really going to heal this relationship. But also you're speaking about self-responsibility in a way, and where people have to take responsibility for their choices and for what they're willing to allow. And so to me, this is all something that will contribute to the healing of humanity. And that's really what I'm about. It's about the healing and uplifting of humanity. And I think it's really wonderful when to hear a man talk about the quality and the importance of women's role and to be concerned about the state of the earth. And it's just that you're bringing such a balance that it's an inspiration to many people, a lot of young people who are not hearing voices such as yours.
Well, I am not surprised, but I am very happy to hear, to actually hear from you. I'm not surprised, given the work that you do and the personality that you have acquired over the years, the acumen. I am not surprised that you would pick this up like that. Mm-hmm. But to hear you say something to the wide audience that listens to you, it's invaluable, in other words.
Well, thank you. I think that your work is invaluable as well. And so
that represents mutual trust. We few for all. We come together, just a few, to give of ourselves wisely, that all may receive sufficiently.
Yeah. So there we are. So that those, this is what you were speaking about in action.
The example of mutual trust.
Yes.
Yes, in action.
Okay.
Okay.
So beautiful. And so I'm glad that we reconnected, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again.
Well, it's on a continuum.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
All the best.
There are people who have let the problems of today lead them to conclude that for them life is not the way. But every problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, communicating with one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never ever let you down. And you can talk to him anytime, he's always around. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Known throughout the world, for solving the problems of all men, women, little boys and girls. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. When you feel your life's too hard,
most of you probably recognize Stevie Wonder, and you know he's a masterful musician, author, writer of music and lyrics, and you know, very long career with remarkable songs. And I love this song, though I think for some it may be a little too religious, do you think? Some people, I think, have may not have the best relationship with whom they would term God. And I say that because so much of our historical teachings have been a distortion of the truth. So I find for myself and for a lot of the work that I do, it's not so much, first of all, God being a him, I think is kind of a reductionist view, because there, if there is such a entity, it would at least have to be male-female. I don't see that it could be either one or the other. However, I do feel that if the Bible is true when they say that we're made in the image of God, if this is true, God would have to be female from the perspective of who is it that's, you know, just the giving of the birth and the life-giving processes of the feminine principle. And when you look at it from the perspective of yin-yang, if you take the sexuality out of it, just of energies, and the feminine principle is also about nurturing and growth. So one would think of underneath the earth as being yin or feminine energy, but some people might consider feminine energy, or the moon, the darkness, which is like the womb, is considered more like feminine energy, where the sun, which is more movement and robust, is considered to be more masculine energy. And so when I look at the world, there is always the balance and the interplay of the forces of the feminine and of the masculine. So when I hear a song such as this one, I relate to it very differently than I did when I first heard the song. And so when I think in terms of having a talk with God, you could just as easily be looking in the mirror and talking to yourself, because we are the embodiment of the divine force, and part of the healing and the uplifting of each of us as human beings is to recognize that inner divinity, that inner power, and not put an outside God above whomever we express ourselves to be. Does that make sense to you?
Certainly.
On some level?
Yes, definitely. I think that, I mean, perhaps people have different terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And it may, one word may connote, as you're saying, certain concepts, mm-hmm. but I think the concept itself of spirit or something beyond yourself or the greater universe, or there, I think there are many ways of expressing that mm-hmm. that force, if you want to call it that, or whatever one wants to choose, that's beyond yourself, and that may be a key factor in your existence. terms of how your life progresses.
This is true. And from my perspective, you can really have a deep connection. We have a call coming in. Should we take it? We didn't give out the number yet, but it's 718-780-8888. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, hi. Yeah. This is Divine from the Bronx in Castle Hill.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good morning.
I agree with everything you're saying until the point, I'm just trying to get past the vocabulary point. Like, we keep saying God. I'm trying to get past the point where we could say goddess instead of saying God. Because without a goddess, you can't have God. Without a female, you can't get male. Without a she, you can't get he.
Yes.
So can we get to the vocabulary? Can we get past the vocabulary and correct the vocabulary to say goddess instead of saying God? What do you think about that?
I think that would be great.
Oh, man, y'all beautiful. I appreciate y'all. Yeah, you know, even the brother that you just had on, you know, I love the work that he's doing because it sounds exactly what I was thinking. And I'm trying to, every time I talk to people around here, they're like, man, you bugging.
I know, it's interesting. Sometimes it's difficult to connect with kindred souls who have the same, you know, a resonance in understanding of the bigger picture and the inner self. So it's lovely that you can resonate.
I'm glad y'all having this conversation because we really need to get this out more.
Yeah.
I wish I was on during the day so we could blast everybody and get everybody to start talking about this. Then maybe we could get more women in into the political realm like they really belong and lead this country into non-war and freedom, real freedom, you know?
Yeah, I agree, and I thank you. And, you know, you have to also, you know, one of the things that I appreciated about our guest, Austin Tewitt, and yourself, for that matter, is that, you know, when the male divinity becomes balanced, then there's space created and there's encouragement for women to step up and take that responsibility and that role. And so for me, it's very encouraging to hear from a man who has that perspective. So
you know what would be a beautiful thing? If y'all would have the brother that you had on as a regular guest so he could give a male perspective, like, yeah, this is what we really need to be saying and doing, because he's one brother that I heard that speaks about this the way I feel about it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not as educated as y'all, but, y'all doing it. I love y'all.
Well, thank you. And education comes from the heart, so we are equals.
From the heart, y'all do it. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Lovely call. And the number here is, if you want to join us, 718-780-8888. And, you know, it's really interesting. Oh, before I go too far along, I did want to let people know I'm actually starting a meditation class on Sunday. And sometimes I forget. I get caught up in the show and don't remember to let everyone know that it's only for the month of April. It'll be 4 Sundays at 3 p.m. And for anyone who would like to find out more about that, you can go to studiomayanyc.com and you can check that out there. Or you can send an email to myself at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And it's starting this Wednesday, so it'll be a wonderful opportunity to come together and do moving meditation, sitting meditation, a little bit of toning, breathing exercises. And it's a real important way of finding balance within ourselves.
You said it's starting Wednesday?
Sunday, April 3rd at 3 p.m. So it's four Sundays in April.
And where is Studio Maya?
Thank you. Studio Maya is in Brooklyn, and it is on Bergen Street, 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn, New York, 11238. And their number is 917-837-3705. And you would register through Studio Maya in Brooklyn for those 4 days, four weeks apart. It's going to be great. I'm so looking forward to it. Okay. Getting back to what we were saying, it's I really think that coming to that inner recognition of the inner divinity, the inner power, that inner balance is how we resolve a lot of the inconsistencies in our lives. And rather than thinking of the divinity, the goddess or the god, as being outside oneself, when we begin to relate to that divinity within ourselves, then the guidance we receive becomes so much more potent, so much more powerful, and so much more clear, so that we can make decisions in our lives that maybe feel risky and may have challenges and may in fact have certain levels of anxiety and pain attached to it, but not as much as continuing to live an existence that is crushing our spirit. So it's, to me, it's like connecting to that inner goddess is what helps us on our path in life. So I think it's really important to recognize that we, in fact, if one is to believe in divinity, God, goddess, then us as individual humans are what this God, goddess is doing. We are the expression of, and we are born of the substance of the universe. All the creative forces, all the creative powers that manifested everything that we see, that power is also inside of us. And when we claim that power within us, then we are able to, through that alchemy, bring that to play in our life. And so, and the relationship is stepping away, as we were speaking earlier, from the commercialism, from the programming, from the self-imposed duty of what we must do to survive, what we must do, the responsibilities we must hold, so that our challenges in life are to let go and have a bit of a free fall until we don't hit bottom, but we end up flowing. We end up, it's sort of like the difference between a jet engine and one of those planes that fly according to the wind and fly
gliders.
According to the gliders. And so when we let loose sometimes of that inner boundary of what we have to do, what we're forcing ourselves to do, we can find that flow, and it usually will take us to the place that is best for our nature and for our gifts.
Hello. Oh,
you're on the air.
Yes, I was.
Please turn off your radio. Turn off your radio, and I want to let people know you're listening to Heart of Mind over WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis with Paulette Spencer. If you'll have to turn down the noise in the background for us to be able to speak. Turn off the radio.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely turn it off, because we're getting a loop, feedback loop. So if you turn it off, then we can take your call.
Oh, wait a minute. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, now I can hear you better now.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, you mentioned something on Bergen. That's coming up on Bergen.
Yes, that's at Studio Maya.
Studio Maya.
It's spelled M-A-Y-A.
M-A-Y-A.
And it is on 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn. And that's between Carlton and Vanderbilt Avenue.
Carlton and Vanderbilt, yeah, I think I know the place.
Yes, not far from the Bergen Street stop on the 2 and 3 trains.
Okay.
And it's on Sundays at 3 p.m.
Sundays at 3 p.m.?
Starting this, the first Sunday is this coming Sunday, April 3rd.
Do you have a phone number on there?
The number is 917.
Oh, what? 917.
837.
837.
370.
3706.
Wait, no. I think that's a 5. 3705, sorry.
That's 9, what is it? 917. 837.
370 5.
Okay, great.
And I could also actually give you a number to contact me directly, should you want to do that.
Okay.
That way I could give you the details or you can double check it. And my contact number is 347
347
480
480 1694.
Yes.
Great.
And I will be there offering. It's a the class is an hour, so it's not too difficult, you know. And it's based on Qigong healing.
Okay, so that sounds great.
It'll be good. Yeah, thank you. All right, thank you for
calling. Okay, all right, I appreciate this a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
And I'll get back to you, all right.
Okay. And the number again is 718-780-8888. What happens when we don't take care of ourselves on that level of spirit, energy, relaxation, the tension continues to build, and when the tension builds, it begins to have a negative impact on the body. And what may start out as just a stressful lifestyle can end up being something that will challenge health on a serious level. So with very easy techniques, we can learn to really take care of ourselves in a really important way.
What are some of those techniques?
Some of those techniques are breathing practices, you know, deepening the breath into the body, basic relaxation techniques so that we can relax all the muscles of our body, but also the techniques to bring the focus inward so that we can, in a way, release the tension. We hold a lot of tension in the abdomen, in the solar plexus, and in the lower abdomen, and so we can release that tension from our bodies so that we can, you know, sort of unplug the buildup of stress. And in Qigong, there's movement. So there's walking Qigong, and there's the movement itself appears a little bit like Tai Chi, but rather than the movement being focused outside, we're moving the energy through the inner body. So it's likened or patterned to traditional Chinese medicine, unblocking the acupoints and the meridians within our bodies so that we can heal in this way, and we can maintain a peaceful attitude, a peaceful state of mind. And it contributes to my being able to be peaceful in my life. I consider myself to be quite balanced in that regard. Maybe not in others, but I'm usually very, very at peace with myself. But there are actual clinical studies that show that Qigong can relieve chronic pain, improve balance for people who have difficulty with that, reduce tension, improve cardiovascular function, and influence the index of blood biochemistry. So you could actually impact your biochemistry with these practices. So aside from just the relaxation and the de-stress that it brings into your life, it can help one heal. The number is 718-780-8888. And we have a call coming through. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Yes, you're live on the air.
How you doing? It's just Divine again.
Uh-huh.
You hear me?
Yes. Just
Divine again.
Go right ahead.
I'm sorry.
You have a question?
My question was, do you plan on coming to the Bronx to teach in the Bronx anywhere? Do you know anybody? Can you recommend anybody in the Bronx?
Well, it's interesting. I was in the Bronx this past Saturday teaching at a school, and I will be doing an event coming up at the Bronx Museum, I believe. We're working on that now. And I am actually looking for a location in the Bronx. I'm sure there are teachers in the Bronx, however. If you were to connect with me, I will try to get some resources for you in the Bronx as well, beyond my efforts to get work done in the Bronx. So you could send an email to me, and that email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can call, and the number is 347. Let me see, do I remember my number? I'll have to look it up just to be careful.
94.
You can give me a call. And there's actually another expo health event coming up soon in the Bronx, actually on the 14th of April. I don't happen to have the information with me. But as we build these connections, I can put that out there and help people to make the convenient connections, because there may very well be someone right in your neighborhood that you could work with. My number is 347-480-1694. And so I would put the word out also for practitioners in the Bronx to also give me a call or send an email so that we can make those connections. Or Brooklyn or Staten Island or Manhattan. And one of my goals is to create a resource database on the website so that healers, practitioners, be it Qigong, yoga, Tai Chi, Pilates, can find each other, and the resources can reach one another. Because these are healing modalities that have clinical studies behind them. They work. And they also sometimes are less expensive than medical intervention once we let our illnesses, come to full bloom. So thank you for calling.
Oh, wait. Yes. I tuned in while the brother was talking. What is your topic on tonight?
That was, we were talking about an event taking place in the Bronx.
No. What's your topic tonight?
Our topic.
What are we talking about tonight?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about health. We were talking about stepping away from the media, the computer, the incessant programming that keeps us stressed and distracted from making a connection to our inner divinity, our inner strength, and our inner power. So that's the idea of taking the stress out of our body and allowing our attention to flow inward to find our own truth and our own gifts, and finding ways to come together in community so that we can support each other in healing and developing and cultivating a space for one another to grow and be healthy. And that's kind of the mission of the show, I guess, too.
When I was younger, my dad used to tell me, he doesn't watch that much TV. He used to say, you know, I watch TV just to watch the news. And now I find myself, I rub off, I do almost the same thing now. I watch TV just to see the news, and everything else is,
Yeah. But well, you know, you got to be outside, careful.
I hear everybody talking, oh, I got to rush back home to see Empire and this and that. And I'm like, wow, y'all stuck on that stuff? I remember when I used to be like that.
I know. I think we all go through stages. But truthfully, you also have to be careful with the news. Because the news is not really... it tends to be very repetitive, tends to be very negative. It tends to be very fear-based, and it doesn't give you a balance of the good in the world.
No, that's the truth, and that's why I'm so glad I found WBAI. You know, ever since I found this radio station, I learned so much. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I opened my eyes to so many different things that I didn't see in the news, and now, you know, I'm learning to read in between the lines now. I see it now. There's a lot of BS out there that, oh, man, they selling us a lot of, oh.
A lot of BS. It's true. Well, thank you for your call. Well, you know, I encourage you, you know, Monday we're having a special celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I'll actually be on the air, I think from 1 to 3 or 2 to 3 or something. So you could join me on Monday. We'll be sharing the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And that will be an opportunity for you to thank WBAI with a pledge.
I'll be around.
Or, you know, I think there's actually a special event taking place coming up. I'll play that card about, you know, there's an event, a Latin dance event we spoke about coming up soon. People can become a WBAI buddy and do serial donations because we don't take advertising, and that's why we can speak the way we speak with freedom. But it requires all of our listeners to help us out. So, oh, here, Friday, April 1st. WBAI 4th Battle of the Bands, and it's a benefit at SOBs.
Right.
And so that's pretty cool as well. So there's a lot going on, but I'm so happy you tuned in and called. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so I think we have maybe try to fit in one more call. Whoops. Oh, well, sorry. That number is 718-780-8888. So let's see if we can grab another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi, this is Professor Rhythm. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
All right, I'm not bad either. Yes, and I was calling because I know this is a show about health and exercise. I mean, actually health and the different modalities that you can do to relieve your stress and to go inward and, you know, really get healthy in that way. So I wanted to offer a health expo that is going to be in the Bronx for maybe our friend Divine could come on April 9th. It's at 177 Dreiser Loop in Co-op City.
Okay.
And it's free.
Wait, hold on. Let me jot that down. I don't want to lose track of it. File okay. New. And it's on April 9th?
April 9th, yeah.
Okay. And where is it?
177 Dreiser Loop in Co-op City.
Okay.
And I believe it starts at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it's a, you know, it's a health expo. It's going to have a lot of speakers and a lot of people demonstrating what they do as far as health. You have a yoga instructor. We have belly dancer instructors. We have line dance instructors. We have, and, you know, I'm going to be putting on a little salsa performance.
Oh, nice.
With my people.
Mm-hmm.
And because I also have a class at that same address, and my class is from 10 a.m. to 12, which I give, everybody comes in, we meet, and then I give guided visualization, and we do some yoga and some qigong.
Nice.
You know, and then we exercise through rhythm and blues music. I call it Zumbawi because it's not really Zumba, you know. It's Zumba, but it's like low impact. So I put the L-I on the end, I call it Zumbawi. And, you know, we do the old school dance moves to rhythm and blues music of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I have the best track. Nobody has a better track than I have.
And tell me your name again.
My name is Professor Rhythm.
Professor Rhythm.
Yes.
And what day of the week is your class?
It's on Saturday also.
Well, mine will be Sunday, so that's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I can attend yours. I know you're
maybe we can cross attend each other's events.
Yes, I would love to.
So, is there a phone number or a website people can connect?
Well, I can give a phone number. Anyone who wants to connect with me, and you know, if they want to know about the other event that I, because I don't have that number on hand,
uh-huh.
But if they contact me, I would definitely give them that number. And my telephone number is 917-561-6211.
Okay. 917-561-6211.
Yes.
And you have your events on Saturday?
On Saturday from 10 to 12.
Okay. You wanted to say something else?
Well, yeah, just briefly, we also have like an entertainer. He sings when we cool down. He sings for us, you know, and he'll sing songs like from the past, like he might sing Mona Lisa or any, you know, he's like a great singer, and he'll sing for us as we cool down.
Wow, and then, sounds like a lot of fun.
After that, and then we have an hour of salsa, and I teach salsa in that, so, I mean, it's a jam-packed, you know, morning.
Well,
so people that might be interested in something
I
like
think,
that.
And also, mm-hmm. A caller just before you was asking about connections in the Bronx, so this is great. So do me a favor, take down my email and send me more details.
Oh, okay.
heartofmindradio@gmail.com.
Okay, that's
And we'll try to make sure that information is available for people.
Oh, thanks so much, yeah.
Okay.
I have another story. I won't give it now. I guess I'll wait till next week. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I have a story about the Buddha, and it's a great story. I mean, it only takes a few minutes, but I don't know
we have to run, unfortunately. But you can call back next week,
right,
and we can
sure
go
will.
Deeper into your story. Okay?
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, then.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we're going on to Hour of the Wolf. We do have another phone ringing. Hello? Very briefly, did you want to say hello? You're on the air. Hello?
Yes, hi. Yes, it's a great night, and when you were talking about feeling our God or Goddess within and how it helps to accelerate our growth, can you mention a thought on how to motivate ourselves? Because I feel like I've just been sleeping all winter to cope with the cold and the flu.
Yeah, I wish I had time to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm out of time. But really, it's like taking the breath, following your breath into the inner being. So if you were to put one hand on the upper chest, it's called the high heart. Mm-hmm. The other hand on the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And that space in between is where your divinity resides. So you gradually take your breath down into the body, allow your awareness to flow down with your breath, feel an expansion in your body, and then just sink into that space as if you're like resting in the arms of your divinity, the arms of your goddess, the arms of your God, your twin flame. All that energy is rest in that space connected to the heart field. So that's the quickest way to I can give you. and maybe we can connect again in another way. Okay? Yes. Thank you.
Alrighty. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. We have to say good night and make room for Hour of the Wolf. I thank you all for joining us. We're going to go out with Sinead O'Connor, In This Heart. Any last thoughts? Good night.
Good night.
This heart lies for you. A lark born only for you, who sings only to you, my love, my love. I am waiting for you, for only to adore you, my heart is for you, my love, my love, my love. This is my grief for you,
program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Well, I am proud as punch. I am pleased as, well, whatever I can be pleased by our guest this morning.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. In director Jeff Nichols' 2011 film Take Shelter, Michael Shannon played a loving father and ordinary blue-collar worker who suddenly becomes obsessed with a premonition of a massive apocalyptic storm.
Okay, I have to pause this because I was going to introduce Dan's review. Everybody wants to know what the latest skiffy, tentpole, big-budget movie is. And so I was going to say, Dan Persons reviews the best movies for Hour of the Wolf. Therefore, we will not be discussing Batman versus Superman.
The film becomes an inquest into the nature of faith, of the dangers one faces in a devotion to the intangible, risking even the people one is striving to protect. It is, frankly, a powerful, spellbinding film, well worth seeking out. Nichols' newest film, Midnight Special, is a spiritual sequel, no pun intended, to Take Shelter. Michael Shannon is back as Prophet of Doom, but where Take Shelter played the ambiguities in his relation to forces beyond human experience to great effect, Midnight Special leaves no doubt and is a lesser exercise as a result. Shannon again plays a father who, with the help of a childhood friend played by Joel Egerton, flees a religious cult with his young son, played by Jaden Lieberer. Is this just any child? No, of course he isn't. He randomly channels coded government radio signals, wears goggles to protect those around him from his literally laser-like gaze, and has to be sheltered from daylight lest the earth move, again, quite literally. And as the fugitives are pursued across the South by cult members and the combined security forces of the U.S., it becomes patently obvious that the boy is meant to be something more than just a strange, energy-channeling mutant. He is meant to represent something greater, something beyond human understanding. Midnight Special treads some well-worn paths, specifically those traveled by such films as Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and Starman. But where those films kept their religious themes as subtext, Midnight Special makes them blatantly text. Take Shelter ended on a sequence meant to question whether the father's fears might actually be justified, and in the process made the film's themes indelible. Midnight Special answers the question definitively, with a closing sequence meant to inspire awe, but that instead takes the air out of the journey through its overt literalness. Director Nichols has genuine strengths. His use of Shannon manages to uncover a tenderness beneath the actor's imposing presence, and the moments when the boy's powers are unleashed have a visceral impact that blockbusters with far larger budgets struggle to attain. But where filmmakers like Spielberg and Carpenter were able to craft stories that brought their themes down to scale by channeling them through the perspective of their characters, the stoicism of Midnight Special's participants gives us nothing but the message to hold on to. The film is admirable in trying to make this all mean something more than just apocalypse for apocalypse's sake, but in the end, Midnight Special still disappoints. The new Greek fantasy, The Winter, is all about ambiguity. A young and unsuccessful writer living in London decides to flee the collection agencies pursuing him and return to the home his father lived in a small village in Greece. Going through the dilapidated building, the writer discovers clues to his father's mysterious death and more than a few specters who have taken up residence in the moldering rooms. This is the directing debut of special effects artist Konstantinos Koutsoliotis, and it is as much an exercise in atmosphere as storytelling. There's a beautiful animated sequence to illustrate the father's odyssey through a mystical night world, and overall, this plays like a more introspective take on The Shining, with the building doing its level best to claim the unwitting soul that has dared enter it. As in many ghost stories, the winter uses the supernatural to suggest the past's inescapable grip on the present, but there are also mysteries here beyond rational explanation, but that are still beautiful to behold. I'm Dan Persons. Now is the time when we must make our stand. Speak out against hatred, speak out against fear, speak out against greed, speak out against Trump.
Speak out against Trump. What are you, pro-woman or something? Jeez. You know, one of these days he's going to do that, and I'm going to segue with Frank Zappa's It Can't Happen Here, because that's the relevant song. You know, it's beyond SF. It's beyond horror stories. So as soon as I figure out which mic is yours, say something.
Something.
No, that wasn't it. Let's try that again. Here, and just turn them all on.
Something.
Oh, yes, you're on one of them.
I'm on this one.
Yeah, okay. Say it again.
Something.
Okay, we got it.
Woo!
Process of elimination. Open four mics, and when I can actually hear you in the headphones... That must be the one. I don't have a VU meter. I don't have something I can look at. My headphones barely register because they're afraid that they will feed back if you make them too loud, which they will. But what of that? Let's see. I had announcements to make. Oh, my God. Do I have an announcement to make? Okay, number one. This is the last day to vote for the Hugo Awards. You have until midnight tonight, March 31st, and you don't have to be an attending member. You can just pay some money. Last year was $45, and this year probably similar. And vote your conscience. And it's very important to do this because... For the second time in history, people forget the first time that there was an attempt by a certain organization in California that was created by a certain science fiction writer who wrote under the name René Lafayette, was better known as L. Ron Hubbard, who bought blocks and blocks of voting memberships in the Hugos and tried to get all members of Writers of the Future nominated and win. They tried to buy the thing. The thing is, they bought them all in paying with checks that all had sequential serial numbers. So they were caught. And it's almost too bad because I have to admit